This is Teresa Matsura, and you're listening to Uncanny Japan. We've talked about yokai here before. I've done episodes on the Tsuchinoko, Kamaitachi, Korori, Jinmenso, Tofu Kozo, Ushioni, etc., etc. But have I ever talked about how to find a yokai, where they specifically like to hang out, the difference between a yokai and a yurei, ghost, and how to increase your odds of meeting up with one? A yokai, not a yurei. Japanese ghosts are not anything you'd want to bump into in the middle of the night. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today. Would you like to explore the stranger, more obscure corners of Japanese culture? Dig a little deeper into superstitions, curious customs, and all those mysterious creatures that inhabit the land? If so, then this is the podcast for you. Uncanny Japan is where I, author Teresa Matsura, share all the fascinating tidbits I unearth while doing research for my writing. From the bizarre to the ghastly, and everything in between. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, hey, how is everyone doing these days? I'm well, and I hope you are too. So there's one thing I've always loved about Japan and been fascinated with, and that's the idea that there is another world, for lack of a better word, existing alongside our everyday one. It's just a matter of seeing it, or finding it, or it finding you. There are different names it goes by, but one is Ikai, literally different or other world. And it's not exactly like what I've experienced in the States for quite a few reasons. But one is that it's not just ghosts or spirits who live in this Ikai. You also have your yokai there too. I can spend an entire episode trying to define yokai, but instead in the show notes I'll put up some links to the other episodes where I did discuss them, or you can just search for #yokai on the uncannyjapan.com website, and they'll miraculously appear. The episodes, not the yokai. At least not yet. Keep listening. So here's one theory as to how yokai came about in the first place. That is, it's from our human sense of awe and fear. That basically, through the ages, people have kind of conjured them into existence. It's important to note that while yokai is the most widely used word for these apparitions today, they used to be called all kinds of other things, like ayakashi, bakemono, zukehenge, obake, and henka, to name a few. It wasn't too long ago when someone was walking alone through the forest or a mountain pass. Maybe it's nighttime. Maybe they're carrying a paper lantern to light the way. Whatever it is, they might notice something strange and unexpected and unexplainable. If that happened, they'd first blame it on a fox or a tanuki playing tricks. If it was someone at sea, they were said to be funalei, or boat ghosts. Here's something I found interesting while reading. That is, it was thought that when you experience such a weird encounter, or freaky phenomenon, you should as quick as possible identify what it is that is messing with you. Was it a fox? Was it a tanuki? By doing this, you escape danger. If you could expose the real identity of the yokai that was attempting to frighten you, then it lost its power to transform. And that means also to impersonate humans, which I suppose could get you into a lot of trouble. So all through the ages, you needed a way to expose these tricksters. But how? Here's an example of how it was done at sea. If you're out on the ocean and in the distance you see a ship that looks suspicious, like it might be a ghost ship populated by funarei or boat ghosts, what you do is you turn around, place your feet shoulder-width apart, bend over, and look at them from between your legs upside down. If it's a regular boat or ship, it will look just the same except it's upside down. If it's a ghost ship, it will look the same except the bottom, the hull, won't actually be touching the surface of the water. It'll be skimming above it. This action is called mata nozoki. Mata is the space between your legs, and nozoki means to look or peek. And boy, does that sound horrible when I say it aloud in English, but seriously, it's not weird. Well, it is weird, but it's not weird in the way you're thinking about. If you've ever been to Amano Hashidate in Kyoto, you might see a lot of people doing this. This mata nozoki. In that case, it's less to do with yokai and more to do with dragons. There are even some viewing platforms that look out over the ocean into the peninsula beyond. There's also a thin, windy bit of land that connects the two. If you do mata nozoki here, that windy bit and the water and sky all come together to look like a dragon ascending into the heavens. It's an old tradition, and it's lucky to do and to see. They even have a handrail for those who need a little steadying while leaned over. So that's Amano Hashidate in northern Kyoto. It's also one of the three most spectacular views in Japan, it's said. Let's return to seeing through a specter's disguise. How it's supposed to work is that by making everything backwards and upside down, you're turned away from the ship, but you're leaned over so the top of your body is now where the bottom of your body should be. That somehow, by making everything topsy-turvy and backwards, you're able to pierce the veil that divides the two worlds. You can now gaze into this ikai, where ghosts and yokai exist. So keep that in mind next time you're in Japan and something weird happens. Here's a quick quiz. What is it called when the sun is shining, but it starts to rain? Yes, it's a kitsune no yomeiri, or a fox's wedding procession, another otherworldly occurrence. Now this segues into something called kitsune no mado, or a fox window. This is another trick to identify what might be haunting you or lurking nearby. What this is when you take your hands and you make this kind of complicated shape. There's no way for me to explain it, but I'm going to put an image up on the show notes. It is possible to do, but it takes a couple minutes to figure out. You've got to get your fingers all twisty and just right. Anyway, after you've made this shape, your kitsune no mado, you'll have this little square area that you can look through. And that is another way that you can see the true form of a yokai. A really good use of this is when you're outside and the kitsune no yomeiri happens. So it's sunny and then it starts to sprinkle. So you know there's a fox's wedding procession somewhere close. Quickly twist your fingers into the kitsune no mado. Hold it up to one eye, and you'll actually be able to see the wedding procession of foxes. That's what they say. Now, if the hand manipulating is too difficult, and you're not the rambunctious type who just turns around, bends over, and looks between your legs to identify whether or not there's a yokai or yurei in the vicinity, I mean, you know, if you're the type of person who has a little more decorum than that, there's still another way to see what's going on around you. The third method of seeing through to the other side is called sore nozoki, or peeking from underneath your sleeve. It would help if you're wearing a kimono with furisode, those long sleeves. You hold up your arm, your sleeve dangles down, and you look through that little window made between where the cloth is and your side. I'm not exactly sure if this would work with our Western attire or not. Maybe if you have a jacket with fringed sleeves? You can try. Oh, and it's also said that it's not just yokai and ghost that you can spot while doing any of these. You can also catch the random human soul that just happens to be hanging around an area. Not quite ghosts, just spirits. Another theory is that those little windows you make, whether it's between your legs, in between your crossed fingers, or under your sleeve, aren't just a way to see into the other world, or Ikai, and the things that dwell there. It may also be a window to the other side, so that they can come through it as well. So use it with caution. So real quick, what's the difference between a yokai and a yurei? Let me tell you what Yanagita Kunio writes in his book Yokai Dangi. He says that number one, a yokai appears in certain places and you have to pass through that place or go into it to encounter one. Think about zashiki warashi. I think I talked about those in episode 47. Where there are certain old inns where you can stay, and while sleeping, you have these little children that visit you. They actually exist in that space, in that environment. A ghost, or a yurei, he writes, comes from the other side and comes after or actively follows you. And no matter how far you run, you can't escape them. Think Oiwa, episode 42. She haunted Iemon wherever he went. Number two, a yokai doesn't choose who they're going to scare the crap out of or mess with or whatever. It's just whoever shows up when they happen to be active. A Japanese ghost, however, chooses their target and focuses all their attention on that person. Also, a yurei likes to appear at Ushimitsudoki, the hour of the ox, which is the spookiest time of night, and it coincides with 2 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. I talked more about this in episode 62. As for a yokai, they like to appear at twilight and dawn, those in-between hours. Yanagita Kunio says basically a yokai is attached to a place and a yurei is attached to a person. He goes on to say a ghost is a person who dies still holding on to some great emotion like jealousy, rage, regret, a grudge, or just really not wanting to let go of a person or their life. This is what brings them back as ghosts. They were an actual person and they retain that character or essence. Yokai aren't exactly that. Now, yes and no, I'm sure we've all heard about people who die in a certain place under certain unfortunate circumstances, and they haunt that spot. Okiku of the Nine Plates, episode 25, was thrown down a well, and her spirit is still believed to reside there to this day. I'm not arguing or disagreeing with the master, mind you. I just wanted to share what he had written. Now you know how to spot a yokai and a yurei. You know how to tell the difference between the two, more or less, and what time of day to look for one or the other. The next question is, where do you find one? Well, I found a list of some good spots to try to find yokai. Number one, old houses. This is kind of a given. There are so many yokai that hang out in old houses. Zashiki warashi, that I just mentioned, makura gaishi, pillow turners, haradashi, belly exposers, the akaname, those long-tongued creatures who lick the slime and mold from your bath tiles. Think of all the tsukumogami, the objects that have been around for so long that they turn into yokai. There are a lot that hang out in old houses. Number two is graveyards. I suppose you risk running across yurei here too. But there are things like foxfires, hitodama, kubikajiri, head or neck biters, nupepo or noperabo, those faceless blobby things. There's also something called a kasha, a kind of burning wheel that steals corpses from cemeteries. There are a lot here as well. Number three would be bridges. A bridge is a wonderful symbol for connecting this world to that world. I think, though, probably Hashihime is who I think about most when I think about bridges. There are arguments on both sides about whether she's a yurei or a yokai. There's much more about her in episode 111. Number 4. Hills and Mountains. Again, loads of yokai hang out in the mountains of Japan. Of course, you have your tanuki, kitsune, oni, tengu. Those are the biggies. But there's also the yamauba, the mountain witches, or hags. Yuki-onna, the snow witch. There's all kinds here, too. Number 5. Crossroads. Where two paths cross is also an excellent place to bump into that ikai world. Maybe a hitome bozo, one-eyed boy, is waiting for you there. Or a tofu kozo, a small yokai holding out a block of tofu for you to taste. Don't taste it. Number 6, tsuka. This can be a single important person's tomb or a stone monument. These are found all over Japan, and a nice place for bakemono to hang out. Number 7. Murasakai, which means the border or the boundary of your village. Again, boundaries and in-between places are very attractive to these otherworlders. Keep your eye on them. And last, number 8, Afuchi, which I talked about in the last episode. It's those really deep, slow-moving parts of rivers, usually at the bend of a river. Here you can find kappa, of course, or nure onna, that snake-bodied, woman-headed creature, the ushioni too. That's another good place for them to gather. Okay, there you have it. Where to find yokai and yurei if you're insane, and a couple methods on how to see them and identify them. Because they're so mysterious and otherworldly. So go ahead and practice your mata nozoki and your sode nozoki, also your kitsune no mado, fox window, so that next time you're out wandering the border of your village at dawn, or standing at the crossroads at dusk, and you notice that something's a little off, now you have a way to check to verify your suspicions. Maybe that adorable red-cheeked old man is really a tanuki. Maybe that attractive woman with the cinnamon brown hair and hazel eyes isn't really flirting with you. She's just a fox who wants to lead you deeper into the woods so you can meet her children. Her very hungry children. Thank you so much for listening. Everybody, stay safe and well. And I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.